thank you so much for joining us here on the show, streaming live on Spreaker and the Web Radio Network. This is the Mercedes Lucky Benedict Show. You can find me on Facebook and YouTube. Please enjoy my music.
Every time that I've ever been knocked down, every time that I've ever gotten back up to face another round, I let go of my fear and put my pride down. I'm building my castle in heaven, climbing over mountains with lessons I've been given. I'm building my castle in heaven. It's not made of mortar or stone. My castle is made from the seeds that I've sown. I'm building castles in heaven. Every challenge, every mistake, every time that I choose faith, I grow strong. I keep moving on and on and on.
in there. We recommend everybody check it out, not just because we're newly joining, but it's a good network and we approach them because of the fact that they are. So we highly recommend the NX network.
You know, I just find that so interesting that it's like Jason had started this during the pandemic and the MUFON. So Jason, the MUFON, I find that absolutely fascinating now that I've really looked into that. I've heard of that before, but I've really been looking more into it. And I think that's one of my questions for both of you is, can you talk about your have you had your own, you have all these people that have investigations on your show. Have you had your own type of investigations? It's kind of like you're starting have you had your own investigations? I know the MUFON you probably have, Jason, but what about both of you? Could you kind of talk about that?
Well, I don't personally do investigations. I'd rather talk to people far more seasoned at it than myself. Quite frankly, okay. I just don't have the time. Otherwise, I'd be all in with MUFON as well. But Jason's been an investigator for a while, so he can probably shed some light on some interesting stories.
Okay.
Yeah, well, my main thing when I joined MUFON was to investigate British Columbia, especially the lower part of British Columbia where we live, the Fraser Valley, because I had done some investigations on just who is the main investigator for MUFON on the Pacific side, and there was nobody. So I decided, well, why not me, right? And at one point, I think I was the only MUFON member or investigator in BC at the time, and I'm not sure if that's been changed or not. I'm sure a few other people have joined, but that was my main thing. And one of the cases that I loved, which is now done, it's complete, so I'm able to talk about it, was in Hope, BC. And this kid was on a sort of a cliff near Bear Caves, I think it's near Hope, and he was filming the Fraser River, which is a large river that we have here in the Fraser Valley, and an object came out of the river at Mach 3.2. We calculated it with a guy from MUFON that does these calculations, and we did an analysis compared to the train track, and there was a train cart that was on the track. So we know that this object was about the size of an F-150, and it came out from underneath the water at Mach 3.2. And it never broke the surface, just this smooth, flawless from underneath the surface up to the air. It was amazing. And that really got me hooked at that point. Not to say that I've done any investigation with MUFON as of late. I have not. The podcast has really taken most of my time, unfortunately, in that regard. But we are still investigating by investigating the investigators, which is, and asking them questions. And that's a really cool part, because I think we're learning more about ufology now than we ever have before, because we now have a platform to be able to invite these people on and learn from them.
Exactly. I love that. I love that. And I understand both points that you would do investigation or not. So Louis, with you, not being investigating yet, but you are definitely helping the investigators by having creating this format to bring in, bring them in. And I love all your questions, how you guys have incredible questions and content. And incredible guests, I must say. I was writing down a list of them. We are talking about Grant Cameron. Is it Cameron? Right?
Cameron, yeah.
And Jeremy Ray, Jason McClellan, I think is how we pronounce that. Richard Dolan. One I really enjoyed watching today was Reverend Michael Carter. He's something else. So So I mean, there's so many top names in the UFO and the paranormal world, and that kind of brings me to one of my questions I have to ask, and that is one of the things I hear so far in your shows with a lot of people, especially where the government investigations are concerned here, is that people will, as they go up to debate what something is, whether this is the truth, like the government, oh yes, aliens are real, and then they put somebody else to be a skeptic. So they have like the press, the legacy media is being a skeptic, but yet they still want everyone to be pulled in. So it's like this chess game. Can you talk about that? How do you feel about that? Do you feel the same as I do?
Well, I'll go first, Jay. I think the media and the government act two different ways. Media is looking for interest. They're looking for views. So usually they will have both sides. Otherwise, people scream at them and say, how come you only presented one side? So media has to appear unbiased. Therefore, they have to have. So I think that's okay. Again, it's a whole, we could do a whole show on the media's reluctance to talk about this topic. But just to answer your question, I think they do that skeptic thing for views. In terms of the government, I've kind of changed my views a little bit. I used to think wholeheartedly they all know and they're just doing whatever they can to silence us. I think now 90% of the people in government are well-meaning people. They're hardworking people. They actually feel like they want to make a change. I mean, why else would you volunteer to do such a difficult job where everybody's going to hate your guts? Or at least half the people will hate your guts, the half that didn't vote for you. So to get into that and to take that level of punishment, you have to like it or feel like, you know, you're doing it for something. But I think there is a small percentage, and that's pretty evident through these clandestine programs where the military arrives at a crash scene and this other agency that's not even marked will show up and say, no, no, we got it from here. You don't have clearance for this type of stuff. So I think even at the top level, at least what we think is the top level, they really aren't. And there is this other, call it a shadow government, whatever you want, but there are other people that really know what's going on. I just think the implications are so big that they can't have everybody know because they're trying to keep it a secret. So that's my newfound belief in government. I'm not as pessimistic as I used to be.
Oh, hey, that's very good.
Well, I was going to say that just recently the Department of Defense got in hot water because, again, there's missing money. They can't account for billions of dollars that are just, they don't have receipts for them. They don't know where the money goes. And when you, you know, start thinking about the good way to leak the money to these clandestine programs is through the Defense Department. I mean, a couple of years ago that people were making fun of the fact that somebody had charged $1,500 for a hammer. Like that hammer better be coated in gold. Like that's crazy. $1,500 for a hammer.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's, you know, again, you were talking about the media and how, you know, or the critics and all that. The media has a hard time taking it seriously. They do want to take it seriously. The problem is that they always end up with a cliche opening where, you know, it's the X-Files music or, you know, it's dark. They show lights and the flying saucer comes across. Like, they can't help it. Like, they have to add some sort of like, hey, it's just breaking the ice here and then addressing the issue. But it's not doing any service to the actual topic. The topic is the most serious topic. You know, number one, there's nothing higher than that. If we're being visited by one or multiple entities from different locations, that's top news. Nothing else will trump that, right? For decades. Yeah. So that is the most important part. And I think CNN is starting to take it more seriously. You're starting to see a little bit more seriousness. In Canada, we have a hard time getting anybody except Vice News to take it seriously. Like if they do play it on our channels over here, which is always 2 weeks behind the United States, it's always very, very fast and always added at the end with a bunch of puppies to end, you know, the program and make you feel good, right? So it's a big problem. I think the media needs to pick up, and the critics aren't doing any service to the topic either, because most of the time you'll have an investigator that's in the field, and then the critic does no work. Never been in the field. They just criticize the work of the other person. So that's a huge issue.
You know, one of the shows was also talking about, kind of in relation to that, that once you get on a show or even an interview with a news clip or a news show, they will cut it out. They will edit it to kind of fix it to their, you know, their narrative. And I always think that's a little that happened to us with, we were on the Dead Files. So the family, you know, they filmed for weeks, with 2 weeks with our family, but you know, it's all cut, you know, into you know, a 45 minute show. So there, it's a lot. And I understand that both of those ways, you know, that it has to be that way for the media. One of the questions I was kind of thinking about was for you both is, who were your inspirations as children growing up? I mean, did you think about aliens then, or this type of phenomenon back then, or did, you know, what was your progression, and who was your inspiration? Whichever one can please tell me.
So for me, I didn't have any alien inspirations growing up. I wasn't really into the topic. I had a weird encounter with the Northern Lights. I've had some poltergeist stuff happen. And I was a science-minded kid through, you know, high school and university and that type of thing. So I, and again, being a spiritual person, I didn't want to just minimize sort of creation. You know, if creation is what we think it is, why would it be so limited as to just put life on our planet? So the more I learned about astronomy and science and just numbers, it just made more sense that, okay, we don't know, but it's very, very rare the chance that it's going to be just us. So I got more into the topic, I would say probably early 2000s, and just became an enthusiast, started reading books, watching documentaries, and mine went from there. So I didn't really have any, you know, any heroes in that field. Since joining the field, I have a ton of heroes, and I'm very blessed to have interviewed most of them with my best buddy. So my my opening has been in the last two decades, let's say.
That is so great. I love that. And I love that you're such, your best buddies. What a wonderful thing that is that both of you get to be on this together, and how it's just become so successful. That's awesome.
I think I communicate more with Louie than I do with my own wife. You know what I mean? I text him all the time, and we're always talking on the phone or on a podcast or a show. So yeah, I'm starting to think that I speak more to my buddy than I do with my own spouse. It's crazy.
I definitely fight less with Jason than I would my spouse. I don't think I've ever had mixed words with Jason ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so marriage is different for those reasons.
You guys are so funny. I totally get that, because I'm like always trying to fix this, you know, work on my shows or work on my podcast or my music. So I totally understand. And well, Jason, what about you? I know that you actually had an experience, I believe, that changed your life. Were you more of this like as a child too, or did it just become after certain experiences that you had?
Well, when I was a kid, I really enjoyed Unsolved Mysteries. I absolutely loved that show, and they kept showing some episodes where people were abducted by aliens. And I always had an open mind to that. I never thought that the people were lying, because why would they lie about something so over the top ridiculous? And when I was 13 years old, they solidified it for me when we had a craft fly above our heads, came from behind, and it was only 80 feet above our heads, and it shined its light on us as it passed over us. And we just watched it continue up to a row of houses and then turn and then proceed over the top of a bunch of trees. And I just remember thinking back then, like, oh, well, of course they're real. Like, why wouldn't they be real? People say that they've seen them. I just saw them. And that was it. I never shut up about it. I mean, you know, for years, you keep telling people, the experienced people, are you sure it wasn't a plane or a helicopter? And I always say this is very easy. I'm 40, almost 42 years old now. I have 42 years of being a human experience. I know what we're capable of, what we're not. In 1994, we were not capable of this craft, whatever it was that flew above our heads. It wasn't around back then. And that really motivated me at that point. And I started taking books out. I didn't take out communion for quite some time because of the scary alien head that's on there. Like, for the longest time, I never even bothered with it. But John Mack was a huge influence, and Bud Hopkins was a huge influence. And I think from the onset, it's always been about the alien abductions that I've been more focused on. I like the sightings. I like the cases that we have on crash retrievals and all that. But I always think that if you wonder why they're here, look at what they're doing and look who they're doing it to. And maybe by collecting that data, and I don't think there's enough data on that to sort of figure out, well, what is it about these people that makes them so special that they're selected somehow in this process? And that's always fascinated me. And that's really where I would like to spend my expertise, if you will, or expanding my knowledge of. This podcast has really helped with that.
Oh, that's actually awesome. And have you guys, I'm sure you have David Pilates. I'm not quite sure. I think it's Pilates. Maybe not. Yeah. That was, but missing 411. And there's so much connection between what is happening to these people. They're just disappearing. And I love his investigations. I was saying, oh, boy, it'd be great if you guys could have him on your show.
We got lots of irons in the fire, so we'll just
totally love him. And then we recently got the new movie and watched that. And, you know, it seems to me that the way it works is there's some aggressive ones. A lot is just peaceful. Like, we've honestly had if I would have known about MUFON, I would have known who to report these events to. Now I do, because we've had a total of 4 different sightings on this property.
Oh, wow.
Oh my goodness. Two of them. Well, Joe, my husband, saw one. I've seen 2, and it was huge. It was as big as a baseball field, as big as that. Like, it was that big, and people saw it. It went right over our house, and it went all the way into like Marana and hooked up to going towards Phoenix, and people were still seeing it. And this was last year. And, you know, so this happens out here because we're out in the country, but we've seen it. I just think it's our land and what's on the land that it seems to, we have this type of a lot of different phenomenon. Knowing about MUFON for me, Jason, is excellent, because I'm calling MUFON.
Nice. Nicely done. Yeah.
Yeah. And I have pictures of it. So another one that I would like to talk about is on your show, when you are speaking with these people, these excellent people, what's your favorite topic so far? Has there been like more than one, or is it all of them? What interests you so much more, do you think, when they come on, when people talk with you?
For me, I wouldn't say we have a favorite. Every guest is about a slightly different topic, and a lot of cases they're firsthand. So it's not like they've been reading a bunch of books and here's what they found out. No, they were there. Like, we interviewed John Burroughs last week. He was at the Rendlesham Forest. Like, the books and the movies are about him and his partner, right? So,
right.
Yeah. So we're getting it firsthand. And the thing I find interesting is we kind of make some notes. I make some notes. Jason makes notes. We don't really compare. We just kind of go for a natural flow, but it's amazing how the conversation changes direction. And I look back at the notes after the show, we didn't cover half the stuff I wrote down because I didn't want to stop the flow of where it was going, because it was better content than it would have been if we just try to say, well, let's go back 20 years and talk a bit more about that. You're interrupting it. So I kind of use the notes as just sort of bulletin points. If they come up, great. If we get stuck for something to ask, which doesn't really seem to happen, but it's more of a safety net to know I have material. And it's amazing on how it just takes on this organic thing. And we've had people on our show that have told us stuff they've never said on any other show. And I think that's a huge compliment when it's coming from that caliber of a guest.
I definitely think that's amazing. What about you, Jason? How do you feel on that?
You know what? We covered a lot of subjects that I didn't think that I would end up being interested in. One of them was poltergeist activity. And, you know, UAP related poltergeist activity, like the Skinwalker Ranch, for instance, talk about Bigfoot, cryptids, all that stuff. I was like dead set when I first started. I am not interested. I don't think it has anything to do with this phenomenon whatsoever. No interest. And as I kept talking to people, they're like, no, you need to look into this, dude. There's like a connection. And it was guest after guest after guest. And then by the time that Louie and I really started taking off, they were like, yeah, you need to check into Bigfoot. Like, there's a connection there. It's like, okay, now we're going down the rabbit hole. And it really is. Like, it just, I keep saying that this, the study of ufology or UAP, if you will, it's almost like a college course or a university course that, you know, you would have to take 4 years to just get the basics of what the hell is going on. Right? Like, cover the history of it, all the big cases, and, you know, the different aspect of the phenomenon, the abduction phenomenon, the medical problems that people have with interactions with these crafts, because there's tons of that documented. There's just so much that as we're talking to people, we kept keep discovering these new topics, which leads us to other guests that are specializing in these topics. It's crazy. Like, I think Jacques Vallée, Louis, that said, suspend all judgment.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jacques Vallée, we've had a few people say basically to the same effect where, hey, after decades of studies, what do you think now? And they're all like, we changed our mind a bunch of times. Used to think this, fought it hard. And then if you're a real scientist, you go where the data is, you go where the evidence is. So suspend judgment, because if you really are seeking the answer, it may not come into packaging you're going to expect or even like, for that matter. But if you really want to get to the bottom of it, you have to take everything in. And it's hard because there are a lot of shows out there right now, and I won't name any names, but there are people on these shows presenting myth and legend as if it was factual. So it's fine if you want to have a cryptid-based show. It's fine if you want to offer your opinion, but you need to distinguish that this is what I think, not, oh, it's been proven, or words to that effect. You know, lore is lore, myth is myth. And a lot of people are getting bad info that are really just have an interest or a curiosity about the topic. And then I hear so many people say things like, I heard somebody say on a show the other day, it's proven that we have alien DNA in within our DNA. That's not true. That is 100% not factual. You cannot say that. There is unknown DNA, junk DNA, things you know, that we don't quite understand about our own DNA. There very well may be an alien connection, but it has not been proven. It is not okay to just say that because you have a platform. So I would say Jason and I are more about integrity and sticking to fact. There's a lot of people that reach out to us. We'd love to have them on the show, but we just can't back up what they're saying. And in the world of trolls, and we don't want to get our head ripped off for giving somebody a stage that doesn't deserve one. But so to answer your question, basically, a lot of the big guests, including Jacques Vallée and all the rest, they basically just said, suspend judgment.
I love that. And I totally am with you, because I know that, especially with the Bigfoot topics and cryptoids and all that, it's like they're discounting. There's like history that goes back and like way back where they've written about this. For stories after stories. And if they'd look at that, they could see more, but I don't think they're going with history. I think they're using an opinion, just like you're saying, and doing their own narrative. So,
and they're probably true. Like I say that, but if you ask me, do I believe in Bigfoot? Yeah. Do you believe in Mothman, Dogman? Yeah, probably. But you can't go and say that it's 100%. You have to, you know, treat fact as fact and treat opinion as opinion, and don't get them mixed up, especially if you're hosting a show.
Exactly. I agree with you. One of the series I really love is Small Town Monsters. And they've had some episodes or movies where they talk about different things, you know, in the United States, different small towns. One of the things that seems to be a pattern, a frequency, is that during these investigations, if they've been set back in time or any time, you know, when the police are involved, or it seems like the government or somebody comes in, you know, the men in black almost, and they kind of come in and sweep through and take a lot of the evidence. So I think it's really been a hindrance to many of these investigations. And I would assume that in like the MUFON, I think that is a step up in investigations, because you're taking it into more of a personal, you know, a special kind of investigator, not just one that is paid by the government. So I think that's a step forward, I would believe. Do you guys think?
Yeah, I think that MUFON, you know, they're not there to prove that what you saw was a UFO or UAP. We're there to prove that it wasn't. So we have to eliminate, we have to do the process of elimination. Was it a satellite? Was it, you know, a planet? Because a lot of people will see a planet close to a tree. And if the tree moves because of the wind, it makes it look like the object is moving when it isn't. It's an optical illusion, but we get a lot of those cases. Another one is the Elon Musk satellites, Starlink, that he sends up every once in a while. Like, we got so many calls. Like, you go on MUFON and it's just like pictures of it. Like, if you've seen this, don't report it. We're good. We're full. Like, it's done. Right? We told you what it is. But that's really the point. Like, there was one case that I was investigating once. The person saw three UFOs. I was like, oh my God, like, it has to be something amazing. And after I did my thing, There was a plane that flew over. It was one of those firefighter planes that lands on water, picks up water, and takes back off. So that's what they saw, which was the light above the water from a distance that they were seeing. And then they said that they saw another one very, very high passing over them. Well, that turned out to be the International Space Station. And then there was another plane that was incoming near that area. It was near Alberta. And those three things, I was able to point out and take pictures of everything and send it to them and show them, this is what you saw. But if you don't know, I mean, you're having an amazing experience because you don't know this. Like, if you've ever seen the International Space Station, when it flies over you, it's amazing. It's very, very bright. It looks like a UFO, right? If you don't know any better. And that's what he saw. He saw those three things within a matter of 15 minutes of each other. And to him, that was a UFO experience. He had witnesses as well. So they, you know, it's easy to convince yourself that you've seen something or that you've had an experience, especially when it's something like that at a distance. But MUFON, if we can't prove it, then it remains unknown. If it remains unknown, then pretty much at this point, it's an unidentified object that you saw. We do get reports as well of, you know, abductions or stuff like that. That's special handled, different department, people that are a lot more trained than just a field investigator. But definitely the place to submit a sighting if you've had it. They've been doing work since 1969. They are the company. They are the free organization. They work for free. They don't get paid for anything. And the person is somebody that cares enough that they've studied a book and did an exam to be able to pass and get their field investigator certificates. And it's important. It's a great organization. I think they haven't been given their due just yet.
Thank you for explaining that. I did hear that today with the gentleman that used to run it. He's from New York. Really, really fun guy. He sounds like he's from the Bronx. I think he's from the Bronx. He's retired now. I can't remember what his name was, though. I was watching him on your show. You know, we have to take this serious. I mean, I have had my own experiences paranormal. I believe, you know, I was listening to someone talk today about how that they would be, I think it was Reverend Michael Carter. He was talking about when his experiences occurred that he was paralyzed and they would come and he didn't know why they would make him paralyzed. But I do know that that is a common factor. It's very frightening. And I know that experience would come over me many times when this was all beginning in my life, a paralyzed, you know, where I couldn't move for hours while they were working around me. I was not thinking about extraterrestrial. I was really open to that, whatever it was. If it was spirit world, I just assumed it was like spirits. I didn't think about it like an extraterrestrial, but so that's kind of interesting to think like that. But what do you guys, gentlemen, feel about the fact of what happens to actual people that have experienced this? And have you had many of those type of people on the show to talk about it, or just a few to talk about it?
I would say most people we talk to have had some kind of experience. I mean, even we talked to Jim Semivan. He used to be a legitimate CIA spy, yeah. And he interacted with entities in his room. He didn't say little gray men, but he could discern there was three individual beings. And you know, even guys like George Knapp and all the rest that have been, you know, CBS news reporters. And then they have weird phenomenon happen just because they investigate Skinwalker Ranch. Their wives have things happen, and both him and Colm Kelleher, a gentleman he wrote a book with, who's a doctor, they go do this type of work, and then they start having, you know, oddly enough, you're researching UFOs and weird things, but you have poltergeists happen at home. That's exactly. Not, you know, like what Jason was saying earlier, there is some weird connection. And there, you know, when we have guys like that with 40 years of professional experience saying you can't throw out Bigfoot, you can't throw out blue orbs, portals, demons, poltergeist, dog man, all this. I mean, that's what a skinwalker is by the native Navajo legend. It was a half man, half dog, shape-shifting being that could take all these different forms. So just crazy stuff. But coming out of the mouths of people you really respect, it's kind of like, well, what do you do with that now, right? And away you go. You suspend judgment. You shift your opinion. You go where the data and where the info is, right? So.
Exactly. And I was listening to the one with the Skinwalker, one of the ones with the Skinwalker Ranch today. And I was typing in their comments because that stuff happens here and happened here, especially at the height of everything, where you'd go, where the electrical things all go, or everything just starts going chaos. Once you start digging in the land, once you start working on land that is hallowed and haunted, you get payback from that. So it was so fascinating. I loved listening and hearing their perspective, that gentleman's perspective. And also the fact that I'm total agreeance. Once you walk into a place, so for instance, our house, after the dead files, we decided we put fences up all around the property, and the gates are shut pretty much. So people, if they come in, you have to realize they're bringing in energy. So we had to really confine who was coming in, because they would leave with something. And it's really scary. So I think it's kind of probably goes the same way with the possibility of what you're saying, how the UFOs, once you start paying attention to it, I think it pays attention to you. Yeah. Do you guys really understand?
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree for sure. I think that's just the universe in general, whether you're trying to work on self-help or getting more, better at organizing things or getting tasks done. As soon as you make something conscious, you're paying more attention to it, and you're catching yourself when you do slip, you're fixing it quicker. So like anything happens when you kind of open your mind and let the possibilities come in, the universe will fill that vacuum. So yeah, it's not, see it when you believe it. If you believe, you will see in multiple ways, maybe not even just physically, but it'll make more sense the more you kind of ponder it.
So Louis, you're pretty much, you were raised as like in church, and then you were really open to everything, I'm assuming. And then you just kind of had an expanded awareness that everything is pretty much possible, right? Is that, and that's kind of where I see, that's kind of how I see you. Like, you're really open to things, to just the facts, but also the energies of things. Am I right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did grow up in a Christian household. We didn't go to church every Sunday, but, three times a month type of thing. So it was fairly regimented, and my family thought that was good. I grew up in Toronto, which is a big city. Even in the 80s, there was lots of crime. So the Catholic high schools had no drugs, no gangs, stuff like that. So it also helped kind of shelter me from a lot of that. I had some friends that went the other way, and they became totally different people. So I think I'm blessed because I had that experience. But I did study world religions as well while in school, and I just saw similarities between everybody's major faith. And I also tried to think of, well, everything we're reading has been written by man. This is man's feeble attempt at trying to document God, and what a ridiculous attempt it is, but you can't look at it as specifically literal. So I just looked at the value systems of all the main religions, and they all basically say the same thing. No one's religion says it's okay to murder or commit adultery or disrespect your parents or steal. So everybody has just a different messenger from their God telling the same story, that this is how you should live. You were created with importance, and God cares enough about you that you should care enough about living a certain way. So I just kind of thought, like, it's a beautiful, God didn't speak to everybody differently. He gave everybody the same message, just through many different people, through many different eras in history and time. He's kept reminding us, or I say he in a figurative way, it, energy, light, whatever God looks like, we'll never know until the day, I suppose. But it was a reminder that, that it's there, and you have some duty to acknowledge it. But you also have free will. So I just took a very open mind to the idea of spirituality, less religious in terms of man-made rules of, one religion says you can't do this, or you can't eat meat on this day, or you can't, let's not get crazy. Okay. Do you believe or you don't believe? And so I've become less religious, but closer to God than I've ever been.
Well, I understand. And I totally agree with you, because we've all grown up in different areas. You guys are in Canada. I grew up in Dallas, now I'm in Arizona, but like I just interviewed people from India, and I loved them so much. Their philosophy on life was just, it's so beautiful. So, I mean, we all have something, and we're all connected to that source. Which brings me to also talk about, and either one of you can talk about this or both of you, but in the Bible, as I was listening to one of the podcasts today, it's like, if you look at the Bible, there's all types of pictures in the Bible that are spacecrafts. If you go and look at the petroglyphs of across the world that have come from the ones before us, they have spacecraft or pictures of things in the space, like up above. So to me, that is the truth right there. It's right there. Can you guys talk about that? What you feel about that?
I would say that it's been here the whole time, and it's far possible that they were here first and that we're here after. One of the cases that I always make for that is that they're now noticing that apes are going through, like orangutans and stuff like that, are going through the early stages of Stone Age. They're developing tools. They're sharpening sticks to fish, and it's amazing. And we're observing them evolve. Whoa. Right? It's going to take another few thousand years for them to evolve to a point where we're like, wow, they're really getting it. But they're evolving, and we're watching them. Now imagine they get to a stage where they become aware that we are watching them. They start drawing helicopters in their caves and stuff like that. It's no different than maybe what happened to us. I mean, we got plenty of stories in other cultures to talk about this advanced civilization that was here before. Then you got the whole Atlantis thing, you know, being technologically advanced and then sinking under the ocean, whatever that is. But I think, yeah, there's something there. I think that they've been there from the start. So if they haven't been living here from the start, they've been watching us since we've started our first step into becoming what we are now.
Mm-hmm. My take on that is, if you take DNA, it's, for whatever reason, it seems to have doubled in complexity it's either 60 million or 600 million. I forget the number. But basically, if you take our age and you divide the complex DNA we have, when you get to zero, you're not done yet. So when they actually date our DNA, it's like 2.5 billion years older than the planet itself. So Ooh. Our DNA had to come from something else that was somewhere, because it is older than Earth. It's not as old as the universe, obviously, but it is, if the Earth is 4.something billion, it's like 6 or 7 billion. Just going by that same math that all other organisms seem to work by, if you cut it in half, then everything else on the planet goes down to zero perfectly. There's this many cells, you keep dividing, eventually you go back to 4 billion. But for whatever reason, our DNA is 6 or 7 billion years old. So it was somewhere before the planet even existed. And I find that very interesting.
That is fascinating. You're a numbers person.
Yeah,
He's a smart cookie. Lou's about the hard stuff,
right?
You are smart, very smart. That's what I was preparing today, because I'm like, whoa, I got some smart, really smart people. What do you think about how all of a sudden our civilization, it seems like I've definitely researched that our civilization took some big changes, where all of a sudden we were given, like, the computers, like we were downloaded. It's almost like there was a download of, into societies at different points of our existence. Do you understand? Have you heard that?
I've even heard people say that in theory, a virus could have done that. If some species wanted to boost us genetically, they could easily do that through a virus, because a virus will actually exchange and change your DNA. Hence, with COVID, they come out with these mRNA vaccines, which is the DNA recipe of how to make the antibody to kill the COVID, so that you don't have to get really sick and then build your own immunity. Your body already has the sort of recognizing tag of this is COVID, right? So it's been theorized that as easily as just a virus could have boosted us. It could be consciousness. But if you look at how many cataclysmic events we've had on the planet since the last big cataclysmic event, it doesn't make sense that we would get this evolved this fast. I could see if it was from the beginning of the Earth. Yeah, okay, we're talking 4.5 billion years. But What was the last one? Like 60 million years ago, something like that? The meteor, whatever the last giant, when the dinosaurs went out, I think it was 64 million years ago, the Chicxulub crater or whatever. So Whoa. Since then, it doesn't make sense that we evolved 7-billion-year-old DNA in 60 million years.
I'm with you on that. Yes. So it's like, it's, I believe that there was some phases where all of a sudden we were given, you know, some great technology. And I don't know, it's my opinion. It's a possible download of consciousness in different areas.
To that point though, think about it. You can meditate and download information that you're looking for. And instead of just daydreaming about something, you get into a meditative state. How much information do you actually take on? So it's not like it would have to be initiated from the outside world either. We can do that ourselves. We are sentient. We are awake. So it's totally possible it could have been a forced download for sure.
Exactly. And then plus the connection of everyone through the planet. It's so interesting how different people, you'll have one event happening in one area, and then across the planet, this would be like an emotional or different events will happen that were almost like connected, and there was no set piece to that. So yeah. That's
like the quantum entanglement, because we're all part of the Big Bang. We are entangled somehow. We don't understand how, but there's been experiments done where if you take a particle and it's in potential energy state, whatever you do to one piece of it, it also affects it somewhere else. Right. So it's pretty spooky when you go down the rabbit hole. Our normal billiard ball Newtonian physics don't work for this type of study. Hence quantum mechanics and that type of studying.
The work that I do with patients and clients was all trained as far as the abilities to be able to tune into one area of the body that I'd work on, to be able to connect all the way into out, you know, to the toe and outside of the body. So it's just fascinating to me what we are capable of, what we are capable as humans connected together is beyond what most people probably even realize. And I think that shows like interviews like yours, you guys do, really brings out the experiences that are really out there that we can really learn from and connect with. It's just fascinating, you know, like the trees in the forest. The studies are that all of the trees in the forest connect to each other through their systems of the roots.
Yeah, the fungal system, the mycelium. Basically, the mushrooms are the nervous network of the forest and maybe the planet, but that's how they communicate.
Yeah, so that to me is just absolutely fascinating. One of the things that would be fun to ask you guys is, you know, there's the giant stones of the olden times that, you know, are just placed, Stonehenge, things like that. You know, that has to come from, there was no way people could do that back then, I don't think. What do you think that was a, outer limits, moving stones and things like that? I would believe that that's the case.
I like the Göbekli Tepe, because right in the middle, there's these three stones that are like almost 100 tons or more a piece. And then they have a quarry where they believed all the stones were cut from. And there's one that's like 1200 tons. And it's not like that's the foundation stone. It's 30 feet up in the middle of it. Like, if you're going for easy, that is not the way to do it. Even today, we don't build with monolithic stones. We build with bricks, maybe a cinder block, maybe a steel beam. Like, that's the extent of it. But in terms of weight, I mean, we'd be hard pressed to have cranes today that could lift a 1200 ton stone. And why would you? Why would you want to? And, you know, the precision these things were cut at, some of our machines we have today can barely get that level of precision. So it's definitely fascinating. And again, there's been science that said, you know, we could have built the pyramids. There was ways, and the terrain was different. It was water and rafts and sheer desire from everybody in the off season when they're not farming. They all pool the resources, and that's what can happen. So I do believe that there is a layer that maybe they did, but why would you want to make it so hard? You can build a building fit for God to worship in. You don't have to have 1,000 ton stones to do that. It's amazing.
I know. So it's all, Go ahead.
I was going to say something that Louie and I always joke about is saying, like, you know, back in those days, if you lived to be 25, you were considered an elderly person,
very true.
You know? So to have a project that would take, you know, decades upon decades to complete, you'd have entire family lines that would be dedicated just to this one monumental building that they're trying to make. It's just, you know, ridiculous when you start thinking about it. It's just not, you know, the health issues. I mean, think of the infant mortality rate. It's been atrocious throughout our whole history. It's only gotten better over the last few hundred years as we got modern medicine. So I just think, you know, it's when I started thinking about, you know, why did they spend that much time building something like this? Like, what was the purpose? Because you think at some point somebody would be like, you know, let's just revisit this. This is costing way too much. You know, let's just revisit our tools. You know, we can't afford the labor. Let's go with forced labor. Like, you know, you got to think about all the strategic aspects of building these things. And some of these blocks are coming from like over 1200 kilometers away. Like, it's crazy the amount of distance that some of these blocks come from. It's like, how would you bring that from that location to over here?
Just over the terrain and everything.
Yeah. The logistics would be a nightmare. So, you know, it does pose the question, like, did we get help or did we have some way of doing this back in the past that we completely forgot with modern times? I think the industrial age did not help us at all. I think we got lazy with, you know, being able to manufacture everything really fast. It stopped the imagination and creative aspect of our species.
Well, just think, even 200 years ago, life was tough. So I think about these Egyptians. They said, well, they were farmers during the farming season, and they did this in the off season. Well, life didn't stop. 200 years ago, the pioneers, they didn't have any off days. There's like, you're still basically slightly better than hunter-gatherer. Yeah, you've planted some crops and formed mild civilization, but every day is a struggle. You don't have half a year to dedicate to just slave labor and the other half of the year to farming. I don't think people have the physical strength to do all that stuff.
Good point. That is actually an excellent point on that. I hadn't actually thought about that. Very good.
Aren't you glad you had us on?
I know. I'm like, wow, that one got to me. One thing too is like some of these civilizations, like part of the civilization that was here on this land was Hohokam, and that traveled from, you know, all the way up to California, almost, you know, different areas, this tribe, but they vanished a lot. And just like you've heard that in different countries, I can't remember, Peru, I think, is one of them that had like a whole group of people. They just vanish and they're gone. And they're so, you know, where that has to be something where they go, you know, just disappear.
Yeah, they're done. They're done with what's going on in the world, right? That's it. I'm tapping out. We don't need to deal with this. They're about to get weird. Let's leave.
They all went and drank poisonous juice and jumped in the river.
No, I mean,
at all the same time.
I think that they were taken. I think they were taken is what I mean. I don't know for sure, but it does seem weird how civilizations, a lot of groups of people could just vanish, you know, out of thin air, you know? So, there's just so much to talk about with you guys. It's awesome. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Oh, for sure.
Is there anything you'd like? I think we're going to probably be winding it up now. I don't want to, but we're going to because it's getting probably late. What I would like to know, is there anything you'd like to talk about or promote? I know you talked about your upcoming network. Is there anything else that you'd like to talk about real quick before we end the show?
Yeah, I'll just say for anybody who's new to us, if you go anywhere on the internet world, be it Google, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, just search for UAP Studies Podcast or go to UAPstudiespodcast.com. We try to keep it fact-based. We put a lot of effort into our guests. We're not a live show just because it's difficult to get Leslie Kane or Ralph Blumenthal like we could tonight. We kind of have to be at their disposal. If they say 9 a.m. on a Sunday, we're there. But that's our dedication, is to really keeping it fact-based and interviewing the who's who and basically assembling an encyclopedia of information. It's not about us. It's about the guest. We don't have any idiots, quote unquote, on our show. Like, we don't have We don't have crazy people that just want to use it as a political venue to spew hatred or to, you know, pass an agenda or really try to convince everybody. A lot of these people, they could care less whether you believe them or not. They know what they saw. And they've dedicated most of their lives, decades of it anyway, to writing books, talking to people. They do our show. We don't pay any single guest. We don't promote them, or there's no monetary basis. And for now, all of our programming is commercial free. So we're one of the few shows at that level that's maintaining that. So check us out, UAPstudiespodcast.com.
Yes, check them out. I just absolutely love what you're doing. And I will say that I'm just curious, like, how did you put that formula together? Now I'm going to extend this a little bit, but how did you start to find, did people just start coming to you once you started, you know, once you together came in together?
You know what? That's a good one. Like we keep geeking out every time that we get somebody. We say, oh my God, I just got a reply from this person, or what. Like we're massive geeks, and we love UAP talks on Sundays, and when we get like an amazing guest or somebody that we've always admired, it just makes it even better. Like it gives us some towards the week that we can just, you know, talk about and start thinking about our questions. And it's fun. Like, you know, doing any show is fun. You know, we enjoy doing shows like this as well, like coming on and being able to talk UFOs with somebody else. Like this is amazing.
Yeah, it's just fun, isn't it?
It is, absolutely.
And I love how you guys expand it. You know, you have, it's not just UFOs. You're open to all of the, how they all connect in together, which I just love. I love all of this conversation.
Yeah. It's more and more about consciousness all the time. And again, that's where our guests are pointing the data that there is something to it. We do get some feedback sometimes, like keep it on UFOs. And some people don't even like the term UAP. So it reminds me of when I had a DJ business years ago. Half the people hated what I played. The other half loved it. Young people didn't want the old people music, and I could never make everybody happy. So we're doing our best. We're having fun, and we'll always keep it on point and try to provide that compass for people just looking to absorb good info.
I love it. You guys are so awesome. And I thank you so much for you know, coming on to my show. I'm a newbie, but I feel kind of like you guys, where just people are just coming and you guys came, and I just enjoy communicating, and so and with integrity and high vibe people and people that are serious. I just love it. And you guys, that's you. And plus you dress nice, like you're dapper dudes.
Oh yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. We even dress up for radio.
Well, it's great. I mean, it's stylish, you know, it's very, very elegant and stylish, as your program is. And I, for one, and everyone else, say thank you for, you know, for doing what you're doing. It's making people step up and, you know, right. You're raising the bar for a lot of things, I think. And it's brilliant.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I hope that.
Thank you.
Maybe hopefully someday you might come back on. We'll see. I hope.
Sure. For sure.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you so much. And again, I want everybody to be sure to check out their program. They've got YouTube and all, you know, just all you have to do is put in their name and you'll find them. And just start watching everything and listening. And be sure to check out all the different shows on Web Radio Network. That is this network, which is streaming live on Spreaker. And you can also check out my website, which is MercedesLuckyBenedict.com. And it will have links to this show and all the things that I do. And I will put a link to their show as well on there. And, you know, be sure to check out all the other shows on Web Radio Network while you're there, because there's some really fantastic shows. It's a great network. And we appreciate our listening audience, and be sure to, you know, make sure when you are, you know, watching UAP Studies podcast that, you know, text, like, press share, you know, send it out, leave them a message. You saw them on the Mercedes Lucky Benedict show, or just say, hi, thank you for what you're doing, because it really helps people to know what, you know, others, that others are seeing what we're doing or what they're doing, which is very important. And again, thank you to the listening audience. And thank you, gentlemen, so much for being on here. May you have a blessed evening, and thank you for what you're doing with your work in this world today.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it too.